Are you tired of playing small and ready to step confidently into your greatness and share your unique brilliance with the world? Well, you're in the right place. I'm your host, Sabine Gideon, and I've dedicated nearly two decades to empowering individuals and leaders as they confidently navigate the twists and turns of life and career transitions. If you're seeking direction, connection, or just a little push to play bigger, consider this podcast your VIP pass to a community that genuinely understands your journey. Join me every week for candid conversations and practical guidance designed to help you navigate the challenges of life and business, foster a growth mindset, and cultivate meaningful connections. It's time to embrace your inherent power, define your unique purpose, and prosper in every aspect of your life. Let's get started. Hello and welcome to another episode of Power, Purpose, and Prosperity. I'm your host, Sabine Gideon, and I'm excited to be back another week with another female powerhouse. So for those of you who are tuning in for the very first time and you're completely new to me, again, Sabine Gideon, the host of this show, as well as the CEO and founder of Gideon Enterprises, a professional development firm serving organizations and individuals in their journey to growth, whether that be career, whether that be in life and in leadership. So without further ado, I'd love to introduce this week's powerhouse, Jessica Berg. Jessica is the founder and sole contributor to Moon Rock, a yoga and wellness platform for the modern day working woman. In addition to building Moon Rock, or while building Moon Rock, she was also a leader in a thriving 20-year corporate career and is the mom of two awesome humans. She's passionate about helping career-oriented women prioritize and connect back to themselves in order to feel more confident, more centered, and more whole. With that, welcome to the show, Jessica.
Oh, I love that intro. Did I write that or did you write that? That
was you totally wrote that. I just added my little flag to it.
Oh, I love it. Nice. Very cool. Well, thank you for having me. It truly is an honor.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. So you have literally, like, you're in a big transition right now. So before we get into the transition and tease it out, I'd love for you to tell the audience a little bit about you, your career journey, the Cliff Notes version, and where you are today with Moon Rock.
Yeah. So like you said in the awesome intro, I've had about a 20-year corporate career, and it started out in the agency world, doing paid search, organic, all that other stuff with digital marketing. And then for the last 8 years, I've been at Adobe, and it was an incredible journey. It was an incredible experience, amazing company to work for. But just about the last like 7 years or so, I've had this pull to do something that really impacts people on the one to many scale. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until the last 2 or 3 years where I really got clarity on what I wanted that to be and what it could be. And so for the last 2+ years, I've been kind of in the shadows building this business that is now my life purpose, my life path. And I did that while maintaining and rising within my corporate career. Coming on the other side of that, I have to say, it was definitely not the most sustainable lifestyle. The whole 4 a.m. waking up every day at 4 a.m. to get some work in before work mode and mom mode, and then working weekends. I am happy to say that I'm not having to do that anymore now that I've made that leap. But it's been an incredible journey, and I'm grateful for every minute of it.
Yeah. Well, congrats again for making that leap. I know that, like I said before, it's not a small decision to make, and it takes a lot of courage, and trust and faith in yourself, in your purpose and everything else. So this is so aligned with this show and what we talk about here. And so I'm curious, because you are fresh into this new world of entrepreneurship and embedding on yourself. How does it feel? How are you feeling?
It feels so freaking good. I mean, honestly, like you were saying, it is not a small feat to get to that point. I mean, it took years of shadow work, detachment from the ego, facing limiting beliefs, getting rid of outdated thought patterns, you know, and there's a lot of internal work that got me to that point, and facing like the fear of failure and scarcity, and, you know, coming from that I've heard people call it the golden handcuffs, and it cannot be more true. I mean, you have this solid, dependable paycheck that's coming your way. And I live in Southern California, which isn't the cheapest place. And I've got two young kids and a husband, and, you know, I'm, you know, providing significantly financially for the family. So it was this shift for me was also a big shift for my family. Mm-hmm. And it's coming together as a unit to be able to do that. So it wasn't only just the belief in myself, but also like my husband's belief in me, and just seeing my kids like eyes light up when, you know, I would talk about being full-time with my yoga stuff, and because they saw how happy that made me. Mm-hmm. And that was amazing. But yeah, it took a long journey to get to this point, but being on the other side, my God, it's unbelievable. And it's really fascinating because I feel like the universe kind of tests you a little bit. So going through all of that, like internal work, facing my fears, literally the day I put my notice in to my boss, I hadn't told anyone but my boss and obviously my husband, I had an old colleague reach out to me on LinkedIn. It's just like, hey, I'd love to connect, just to catch up. It's been years since we talked. And I was like, okay, I haven't talked to him in forever. So a couple of weeks went by and we got on the phone and he said, yeah, I'd love for, you know, I'm at this startup and I'd love for you to come and head up this part of the organization. And I was like, oh my God, you know, there I go getting tempted by the security and the comfort and all the things that I had addressed. And then one of my old bosses too at Adobe reached out to me the following week and wanted me to come back to do a different role. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I was faced with all the things that I had overcome. And I'm so happy that I continued to lean in with my heart and not my head. And even though those opportunities would have been amazing from a financial security perspective, the thing that really pushed me forward on this path on believing in myself and going after my business even further, continue to, is that I would forever regret not taking the chance on myself because of fear. Yeah. And just knowing that, like, I believe in myself. And if I took those job offers right now, and I finally like came to the other side, I would be sending myself the message that maybe I don't believe in myself, or, you know, maybe the fear of the unknown is more to me than my own dream. So mm-hmm. It's just living life without regrets and following your heart over your head more than anything.
Yeah. You're a woman after my own heart, because that's the thing that keeps me driving forward, mm-hmm. is the thought of when I am, you know, minutes away from exiting this earth, this body, I don't want to look back and be like, dang, I wish I would have. I wish I would have.
Yes. Yeah,
there's that I read that. Well, I didn't read the book, but once I heard about that book, the nurses who studied all the people who are on their deathbeds, right? And like the top five things that they like, no one regretted working more. No, yeah. That was not the regret. It was more of, I didn't live life. I wasn't true to who I am. I didn't take risks, right? And so that has been the foundation for me, that anything that I do, no matter how fearful, how risky, how whatever, it is the Sabine on that last day. Is this something you're going to regret? So yes. I'm completely with you. The other thing I wanted to know is I commend you for doing the work ahead of time. So when I took the leap, right, I had had coaches. I was so focused on strategy because that's how my mind works, right? It was the 1+1=2. This is how I learned digital marketing. This is how I, you know, post and all that other stuff. I was so focused on that, that it wasn't until like I made the leap. Then I tell people all the time, it was just like all the dark demons was like, oh, hey, hey, we've been waiting for you.
Hi.
Yes. And so, you know, kudos to you for doing the work. And let me just say this, not to scare you, there's still more, right? Every level you go through. But I think that that's an important thing to highlight too, that it's never this like, it's never just about the work itself or like following that passion, because we don't know what we don't know. And our beliefs, our paradigms, the audience has heard me say this many times, you know, from 0 to 7, like it's locked in. And it just keeps us in this pattern. And it's not until we step out and do something completely different from that, then, you know, the subconscious mind is like, red alert, get her back, which is why you experience those two offers. Yes. Like, that's how insidious our mind is. And if you're not aware of that, which most of us aren't when we're going through that, unless like you have a coach who can guide you through that. If you're not aware of that, you start to think you're crazy. You start to think that, you know, like you start to buy into the messages of your subconscious mind that is just trying to keep you safe. So again, kudos to you for pushing through, right? Being aware enough to know, okay, this is what's happening. And in order for me to move forward, this is what I have to do.
Thank you. And the ego, like, just to kind of touch on that for a second, it's such a, once you, the more and more you become aware of the ego, it does make it easier for you to kind of just say, to lean into the unknown. Cause it's really fascinating how the ego, it does want to, it thinks it's keeping you safe by staying within what's known. Mm-hmm. But even if it's something that is not healthy for you, like, I mean, my corporate job, while I loved it and I'm very grateful for the experience, I was just in a constant fight or flight stress. I mean, I would wake up, drop the kids off at school, and then I would have the anxiety as I was going through that step by step, like almost like the minute I woke up in the morning, is I would have the anxiety of what's waiting for me in my inbox, or like what's waiting for me on my phone from a text message when I get back to my car after I drop the kids off. And I see that very black and white now that I don't have that in the mornings. Mm-hmm. But it's so funny because the ego will keep you in those unhealthy situations because it's known. It's the unknown that the ego thinks, you know, there's a tiger coming after you, be careful. But really, when you step into that unknown, the outcomes could be surpassed like your wildest dreams. Yeah. And being on the other side of that 2 weeks into this and not feeling that fight or flight is just, I feel happier than I have been in, I can't even tell you when. And it's actually interesting because last week, I'm very fresh into this, keep in mind. So this is my second week rounding out first full-time entrepreneurship. But it was very interesting last week because last week was my first week. I was like, all right, this is amazing. I got my full day. I finally like have a whole week where I just get to focus all on my passion. This is so exciting. Don't have to balance and multitask and all this stuff. And what I started to notice is that there is these old habits from my corporate life that were trickling, that were kind of ingrained within my system because I was so used to the cortisol drip. Mm-hmm. That my whole body was like, wait a second, wait, you're not stressed yet. Okay. We need to do something to make you feel a little stressed. You feel it? You feel it? Okay. Keep going. Keep going. So it was just really fascinating to see the things that I still needed to kind of heal from and break down within my own system that had been ingrained from almost 2 decades in corporate. And that's not to say that's for all corporate, but it's just the pace at which I'm a type A hyperachiever. It's just the pace at which I operated.
Yep. So I am going on 6 years of being in business in July.
Congrats.
And thank you. And January, I made the decision that I was no longer going to work on the weekends.
Good for you.
We're 4 months in. And when I tell you, every weekend is a battle within myself not to work. Because what would happen in the beginning, like this is what we're talking about, like the insidiousness of anytime we're making a change. So obviously we're talking from the context of, you know, going from corporate into entrepreneurship, but this could be, you know, moving somewhere. This could be having a new child. This could be getting married, like you name it, whatever life transition that disrupts your natural pattern. And so in the beginning, it would be like the trash talk of like, okay, you're being lazy right now. There are things that you could be doing. You could be productive, da, da, da. Okay. I recognize that. I was aware of it. Then I noticed that during the week, I started procrastinating in doing things. And then it'd be like, oh, okay, well, I can do that Sunday. So it was just like it was so tapped in. And then I'd be resentful that I had to do work on Sunday because I was just like, I'm supposed to be off. And it's not until, I mean, we're 4 months into the year, probably last weekend, actually, to be completely honest and transparent. Last weekend, I was just like, okay, this pattern needs to stop, right? Even if I do find myself in that space of like not doing things, I am not sitting at this desk on either Saturday or Sunday. And this is my way of, you know, changing that paradigm and reshifting so that now I can be like, if I have things to do during the week, I'll do the things, right? Because now I don't have that clutch of like, oh yeah, there's Sunday. Nope, she doesn't work 7 days a week anymore. That's not healthy. And that's not supportive of me to the people who I, you know, essentially help and support and guide and mentor.
100%. And it's so interesting that you're saying that, because I'm such a freaking dork when it comes to like work stuff. I have like my own journal or the planner, and I get so excited. I color code it. I number it just like you do. And I was finding that, and I did this, you know, before I jumped over to this world, but I'm just more conscious of my time too, is I was finding that like, I was listing so many things down, and I had to stop myself, because I was like, I want to have even more balance. Yes, I want to bring a one-to-many impact. I have a passion, I have a vision of what I want to do, but I also want to like have a more balanced life and live in more abundance and be more present in other areas for myself and for my children and everything. So I actually started like having to shorten that list, just like you were saying. And I do number it, like the first three are my big three rocks. And what I have also found is that in those top three priorities, I have forced myself to make one of them not work related. One of them has to be, you know, I have a dog and I want to get outside and I want to walk more, like get outside, because I do yoga every day, but just get some cardio going, you know, like I've promise myself that one of those three things are going to be just non-work related, but that contributes to like my well-being.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's for us type A hyperachievers, man, it is hard.
It is a struggle. It is a struggle. There's actually an app that I used to log into. So it's Commit to Three. It's a free app. So for those of you who are listening, and you put on the app what your commitments, what your top three commitments are going to be for the day. And in the past, I used to do it be like one business related commitment, one personal, and then one like self-care-ish type thing. And so if you need help tracking, I mean, clearly I have the app and I'm not using it, so this might be my reminder to go back to it. But if you need help tracking on like, these are the three things that I'm going to commit to, a career related, maybe family related, and maybe personal, whatever that looks like for you, that's a great way to track that. So shifting gears here slightly, right? Because obviously you have stepped into this space because something was pulling you, something was drawing you to help more women like us really own their power and owning it through, you know, movement and through Moon Rock and the work that you do with the yoga. So tell me about like what really stirred for you? Like, where did you see the gap and recognize that, okay, this is an opportunity for me to support women in that space?
Yeah, I actually saw the transformation within myself first and foremost. And then the more I committed to like tapping into my wellness practice consistently, and I saw that transformation, I was more aware and mindful of other women and men too, right? I say women just because I relate to women, because I identify as one, but, I was coming across so many different women, not only at my company, but also like my clients, my friends who are also like just in this corporate like hustle mode. And it's just so easy for us to get disconnected from ourselves. And I think as women, we tend to, I don't want to say it's unfortunate, because I also think it's one of our powers, is that we do tend to prioritize and care for other people, right? It's just like, it's for many of us, it's ingrained in our system. Mm-hmm. And I feel like with our job, like clients and kids, as a mom who has a career, like I was putting myself lower and lower on the totem pole. And I was also chasing moving up the corporate ladder more and more. And I reached burnout. There was a significant burnout that I had in 2021, where I was working weekends, I was working 10-hour days, and it was for months on end. And I was getting more and more resentful at my job. I was getting more and more disconnected with myself, with my children, with life. And was missing the yoga mat for months on end. And I just had a breakdown, and the breakdown actually was triggered by my son. He was 4 or 5 years old at the time. And he came up to me. I was sitting at the kitchen table and I was just working at night. And he was like, "Mommy, I drew you a picture." Something in me just had me like immediately put the computer away. And I like shifted to him and he showed me the picture, and it was him and I, little stick figures. I was in blue because it was my favorite color. He was in green because it was his favorite color. And he was holding an umbrella over my head and it was pouring down rain and lightning bolts. And he was like, "I'm protecting you from being sad and hurt." And I was just like, oh, I thanked him. I embraced him. And then I walked upstairs and just fell to the floor and just started sobbing, because I realized that my children were seeing the stress and toll it was taking on me and how disconnected I was becoming and how sad and just not happy. And that was a huge wake up call for me. So from then on out, I just committed to myself that I would start putting boundaries in place and I would start prioritizing my wellness again. And it's funny because I wanted to get, you know, type A over here. I was like, you know, who could I talk to that can really help guide me on how to best put some time constraints in place? So I reached out to the EA of our chief revenue officer. Cause I was like, if there's anyone that can control a calendar, it is an EA of a top salesperson running our global organization. So she gave me all these incredible tips about, like, you know, blocking off time, but then also like identifying like what are the values that I have for my career and my business, and then only participating in meetings that actually funnel up into those. Mm-hmm. So I all of a sudden started getting a lot more guarded on what meetings I was participating in, and where my time was going. And then because I was spending less time in all meetings and I was only in the meetings that I needed to be in, then I had time to actually get work done. So I'm not working weekends. And then I also had time to, I started waking up earlier and giving time to myself for my practice. And what I saw, the transformation I saw within myself by making it to my mat, by meditating and tapping inward, is one, I just obviously I became, in my opinion, a better version of myself in all areas of my life. But I also started noticing a shift in my confidence too, because I was able to feel a lot more comfortable in my own skin when I came to the table to meetings. I carried a more strong presence, a more confidence in my voice, no matter the audience. Like, I didn't care if you were an executive. To me, because of my yoga practice, because I've been, you know, connecting to myself, I see you as a person, mm-hmm. you know, and not someone that's based on their title, but based on who they are as a human being. And so I just saw this huge transformation happening within me once I set boundaries. And then also once I just consistently showed up for myself in wellness, mind, body, soul.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, we could have the conversation on boundaries for the next 3 hours. I'm actually doing this 40-day thing through Mastin Kipp's book, Claim Your Power. And so I read the book, and he's like one of Tony Robbins' proteges, or Tony Robbins was his mentor. And he talks about, you know, trauma, but in the sense of like, how do you heal your nervous system and everything else? But so long story short, today's thing was on boundaries. But it started with identifying like where you've given away your power. And so most people, they, you know, he gave like 4 different things, but most people start with others. Right. Yes. And then like God or whatever their spiritual higher power is, and then themselves. And that others list could be extremely long. And so the whole shift of claiming your power is you start with self. Right. And then God or whatever, again, your internally sourced power is. And then others. And that's how you get to stand and own your power. And so I love that you just shared that, because that sounds like that's exactly the transformational shift that you experienced that has allowed you to, you know, step out, do what you're doing, and now essentially begin to teach other women how to do that. So then that kind of ties into this next state, you know, as we think about power, and I shared this with you before, I'm on this mission to move us from being okay with just being empowered to really owning and stepping in and defining what being powerful or power means to us. So with that, I'm curious, given your transformation, given the state that you are in right now, and obviously where you're looking to continue to go, how do you define power? What does that mean to you?
I love this question. And when I think of power, especially just what I've seen within myself and of people that I view as powerful, it's showing up as yourself unapologetically, as authentic as possible. Like without question, you show up as your personality, your power, your uniqueness, and you don't shift or change things to fit into a certain mold. And one of the things that really was like kind of a moment for me from a power perspective is like in the last like year, I moved into, I was doing post-sales like leadership roles for Adobe for 6 years. And then I moved into global strategic sales, which is like kind of like the full spectrum, pre-sales and post-sales. But I was, one of the things that I have has been my strong point is my showing up as me and really like kind of my connection to people. Mm-hmm. So I would sit down with the chief global officer of one of the top global brands in the world. And we would have lunch and 10% of the time, maybe we talked about work, but then 80, 90% of the time we talked about kids, life. And it's all about building that relationship and that connection. And that was one of the things that was my huge strength, because once I built that trust and connection, then the business side of it was kind of more organic. And I never held back on, you know, my bubbliness or my excitement about life just because there's a certain, you know, title sitting on the other side of the table for me. And I had a boss in the last like 6 months who tried to tell me that I am too cheery for my role. And that if I, for me to be seen as a true leader, I need to stop being so cheery. And that just freaking pissed me off, because basically he was asking me to be unauthentic and to be something that wasn't myself. And where I stepped into my power is I didn't listen to what he said. I still continued to show up as me, and knowing that my authenticity was my power. Mm-hmm. And that's really what had carried my career and building the relationships off that authenticity. So I would say power to me is just authentically showing up as yourself without like any question. And yeah, who gives a shit what other people think or say?
Right. I love that. I mean, that comment, I'm sure for those who are listening and even myself, like, right, we all have a story of a well-meaning male who wanted to give us unsolicited advice on mm-hmm. who we needed to be effective. And, you know, the truth is when you look in, when you look at organizations or you look across and, you know, some of the other questions that I've asked other guests are, you know, how does that translate to authority and how does that translate to influence? It's like, we get these messages and depending on where we are in our career, where we are in our own self-love journey, right? We can either be in that place to be like, oh, okay, I need to be tougher and I can't, you know, be this person. And so we start to embody these characteristics that really aren't us because we think that that's what we need to do to survive or to thrive in the environment that we're in. And so we get these positions of power and then we start abusing authority or we manipulate instead of influence. And I know I'm generalizing here, but these are the messages that we get during, you know, periods within our careers that start to shape, you know, what we believe power to be, what we believe authority to be, what we believe influence to be. And of course, if you've seen power demonstrated in a way or modeled in a way that is very authoritative and commanding and all that other stuff, and that's not naturally who you are, you're going to be like, well, I don't want to be powerful. Like, I don't want to associate with power. When the truth and reality is that comes from within, that comes from you being, to your point, unapologetically authentic to who you really are. So thank you for sharing that. So you were blessed enough to have a sweet little boy mm-hmm. be your mirror and reflect back to you where you were, right? And you didn't recognize that or realize that in that moment. If he hadn't been that mirror for you in that space and time, what would that have looked like? What could have been a catalyst for you to take a step back?
I mean, I feel like we all hit a breaking point that makes us open our eyes. Like for me, it was a burnout. Other people, it could be maybe they lost their job because they weren't performing, because they were so stressed out. If we keep pushing against the grain of our heart and just lead with our head, the universe has a way of freaking hitting us over the head with a frying pan. So I feel like if you aren't sure on whether you are at that point or not, maybe if you just kind of like take 5 seconds to close your eyes and ask yourself, like really tap into your heart space and ask yourself, like, is the life that you are leading right now, is it truly aligned to your happiness? Mm-hmm. And happiness is one of my core values. And I've learned that recently. I don't want to say I've learned that recently. It's become very, very blatantly obvious to me that that's one of my core values, right? And I would say that, like, if you really sat with yourself and asked you, am I happy? Like, are the areas of my life that matter the most to me, am I happy? And then that would be one of the catalysts for you to kind of see, like, do I need to start making some changes? Because we get caught on this hamster wheel and we kind of go through the motions of life without even questioning. You wake up, you check into your inbox, you execute, sometimes you're in back-to-back meetings, so you barely even have time to take a bio break. And then you close the day out and then you're just freaking exhausted. You just go to bed and then you wake up and you do the same thing the next day. And so we aren't really taking time to pause and ask ourselves, like, are the days that we are experiencing, are they really aligned to how we want to be living? And that's I think something that we should be doing more often than not. And that one of the beautiful parts about COVID COVID was freaking horrible in so many ways, but I do believe that the silver lining is it caused all of us to pause for a second, and it totally kicked everyone in corporate off that hamster wheel. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden we were like, holy crap, what are we doing? Okay. Oh, we're hanging out with our children and family, and, you know, we're not going into the office, we're not commuting. And I feel that now that we're a year or so kind of like really coming out of COVID, everyone's kind of getting back on that hamster wheel harder than ever. So it's so important for us to mindfully take a pause and really look at how we're spending our days. Like, I guess the question to ask yourself is, do you feel like you're powering through your days or are you flowing through your days? Because if you're powering through your days, that's not living your life. That is just like survival mode. And we're all on this planet for, you know, in this lifetime for who knows how long. You know, if we're lucky, we make it to 80 plus, but none of us are sure. The only thing we're sure of is that there is going to be an end date. So it's really kind of making sure that the days that you do have, that they're going towards a life of alignment.
Yeah, I love that. And as you were talking, the word autopilot came to mind.
Yes.
And I know, you know, for the listeners, some of you are in corporate, some of you are in entrepreneurship. The same is true, because you can be on autopilot and be an entrepreneur or be running a business or multiple businesses or whatever, right? It's a taking that moment to be conscious and aware. And part of the reason to start the podcast or the original podcast She Leads Now is really because I started to see that shift. Right. I saw that more and more women took that pause and said, wait a minute, this is not what I want. Hence the great resignation and everything else. Like, this is not the life that I want. And then as time went on, like any movement, like we started to regress. And I was just like, no. This is the time that we keep our feet on the pedal so that we can change this paradigm. We don't have to go back to what it was, so that we end up in the space. Not only are we miserable, but now we've brought up a whole generation of young men and women who are following that same pattern. And so something I want to challenge the audience to pay attention to, you know, if you're not sure whether or not you're in autopilot, and I love the way that you put that, are you powering through or are you flowing? If you're not sure you're on autopilot, or if you know you're on autopilot and don't know what to do, pay attention the next time you get into your car, right? How many times, how often are you, now we don't even need the key for most cars, right? Like use just the push button, right? Think about next time when you sit in the car, ask yourself, where's the ignition, right? And I have a push button start, right? So instead of just pushing the button and doing all the things, take a minute and see all of the steps that you have to take to get from one place to another, right? From looking in the rearview mirror, from looking in the side mirrors, from, you know, handling the, what do you call that? Not the clutch, the stick.
Yeah.
The driver's stick, right? From handling that, from, you know, turning your dial to listen to whatever radio station. Pay attention to every single thing that you do from the time you get in the car, leave your home, to wherever it is that you're traveling to when you get out of the car and you lock the door. Be attentive in that moment. You're going to notice probably things that you didn't even pay attention that you do all the time, right? While you're in the car. But that's literally what's happening to us in our lives, right? Because we don't even think. We're like, oh, okay, I got to go to Ralph's. All right, cool. Like, this is where Ralph's is. I'm going to go. I'm going to do the thing. And we get there. We are driving this, you know, 10, however many tons of vehicle. And then there are tons of, you know, weighted vehicles all around us. And yet we're able to get to where our destination is for the most part, right? Safe, sound, with no issues. That's how we're living. That's how majority of us are living our lives. And so this is the invitation for those of you who are listening to, you know, find something that you can just dial in and pay attention to every single thing that you're doing. That's what it means to be, you know, centered and in flow and in your power and aware of what's happening and what you're creating on a regular basis. And then from there, you'll get to decide, okay, well, I don't like this. Or, you know what? I didn't even realize I was doing this. That's how you shift that awareness. And so thank you for sharing that. I could honestly talk to you for hours, but I know you're a busy woman now that you are a full-time entrepreneur with things to do. So with that, I just want to shift into our blitz session here. And so I have three questions for you. First and foremost, you know, looking back, knowing what you know now, if you could go back to a younger version of yourself and give her a key piece of advice, what might that be?
The key piece of advice that I would give the younger version of myself is to not sacrifice living for the pursuit of a career. Mm-hmm. And that's really kind of, don't let the ego take the lead, where I am so focused on like moving up the corporate ladder, getting that award, making sure that I am like the star performer on my team. And I do that so much that I forget to live my life, because I want the younger version of me to know that you can have both, that you don't have to sacrifice personal life and being present in, you know, throughout your days for your career, that you really can and you should, and you're entitled to having both.
I love that. And then looking ahead, as you, you know, carve this new path and several new paths for years to come, mm-hmm. when you are having those last moments and those last thoughts and flashback over your life, what do you want the narrative to be?
God, that's a powerful question. And honestly, I've thought about that, especially as making that shift too, out of corporate. Cause I was like, I don't want my legacy to be, you know, she worked really hard. I want my legacy to be, she followed her heart and she believed in herself. And I want my children to see that too. I want them to see that you don't have to give up on your dreams because you've reached a certain age in life. You don't have to give up on your dreams because you have certain responsibilities and commitments. I've got a mortgage. I've got two kids. We live in a very expensive part of the US. But I still believed in myself. And there's this, it's interesting. There's this Shel Silverstein poem that really kind of catapulted me into finding a, leaning into like the pull I was feeling in my heart, that talks about like, it's basically to a child, but saying like, you know, go after your dreams. Like, don't listen to what people are saying. You can be anything you want to be. And I paused when I read that, cause I was like, that can apply to adults too. And it should apply to adults. Like, why do we, once we get a certain age, we lose that glimmer in our eyes of the magic that is life. if I was looking back on a legacy, I want maybe that to be my legacy, is that, you know, never stop giving up on your dreams, no matter what age or stage in life you're at, because there's magic in every single phase of it.
Absolutely. And then last question, is there a book that has been pivotal for you in your development, either personally or professionally?
So there's two. Coincidentally enough, I was in this women's leadership program, and the book that they had us read was called The Inner Edge. And I went into that whole entire experience kind of just resentful with the whole 9-to-5, like golden handcuffs, because I wanted to pursue this dream that I was feeling pulled to do. The book opened up my eyes to the fact that you shouldn't have to look at your career and your personal life and the values as separate. Like your values and your personal life should carry into your corporate life or your career, and that they really should be balanced and supporting one another. And so I would highly recommend reading The Inner Edge. And the other one is just Black Sheep. I love that book because it talks about identifying your core values, but it's not just like, okay, these things are valuable to me in my life. The black sheep are your values that are absolute non-negotiables. And those, once you identify what those non-negotiables are, whenever you're faced with like big life decisions, then you just go to your black sheep values and say, okay, which path do I need to go to adhere to these values?
Awesome. So The Inner Edge and The Black Sheep, I will definitely include those links in the show notes. So Jessica, for those who are listening, they want to learn more about Moonrock, they want to get to know you, where can they find you? What do you have going on?
So you can find me on Instagram. That's my main social outlet that I go on. It's at moon_rock_wellness. And then also check out the website, moonrockwellness.com. You can go there. There's a membership that you can sign up for. And in the membership, you get yoga, meditation, breath work, sound healing. I'm going to start adding recipes in there too. It's basically just so that women, or just anyone who's a busy professional, can go in and they can maintain a consistent wellness practice daily. So everything is in there to fit your schedule.
Awesome. All right. So we will be sure to include the Instagram as well as the website links in the show notes. Again, Jessica, like I said, I could talk to you for hours, but we don't have hours here. And so thank you so much for coming on here. Thank you so much for being vulnerable, being authentic, sharing your very, very, very new journey with us and where you are today. And so I'd love maybe in the next year to do a check-in, see how things are going, and what lessons you have learned now that you would have been in entrepreneurship for a year. So
I would love that. That would be a fun reflection.
Yes. So thank you so much for being here. For those of you who are tuning in, thank you so much for tuning in. You can get all of Jessica's contacts in the show notes. We will be back next week with another female powerhouse. Thanks and have a great day. Take care. Hope you enjoyed this week's episode. If you found today's conversation helpful or got a piece of insight that you plan to implement in your life, I'd love to hear from you. Connect with me on LinkedIn at Sabine Gideon and send me a message, or feel free to leave a review on either Apple or Spotify. I also invite you to share this episode with anyone in your network, another powerhouse possibly, who you think might benefit from today's conversation. Lastly, as always, any links, any resources, or any upcoming training is included in the show notes, so be sure to check that before you leave today. Until we chat again, have a blessed and powerful week.